Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. And as we do every Tuesday at 9 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Doing well this morning. How you guys doing?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to join us. So, Charles, let's start with the Titans. A big win on Sunday Night Football against the Rams with no Derrick Henry in the game. How impressed were you by what you saw from the Titans without their best player on Sunday Night Football?
Defensively, I mean, it was a great game. Shane Bowen, I mean, it was, a number of guys, Jeffrey Simmons, Danico Autry, we talked about Autry last week, getting, obviously, Byard, Harold Landry, getting these contributions from these guys, particularly up front, to me, is that's going to be potentially the difference maker in the playoffs. I think we talked when the season began, and I kind of told you guys, I'm looking at, this season, particularly considering how the Tampa Bay Buccaneers caught their stride down the stretch last year, and so much of it was front pressure on defense. And it was part of the reason why, when the Cleveland Browns came into the season, I said, their defensive front is so ferocious, as long as they can stay healthy, I think they'll factor. Well, I think this is what's made the difference for the Tennessee Titans. When you look at how that front is playing, and you can see them getting pressure without having to do anything exotic, I really think that's the key. If you can scheme pressure just with your front, if you're a 3-4 or 4-3, whatever your defensive line is, and then occasionally throw in a free blitzer, whether it's a corner off the edge or moving around a linebacker. I mean, it really can create a lot of problems. And I thought, Matt Stafford, we watched him make two absolutely incomprehensible Carson Wentz throws, and it completely changed, the complexion of that game. So defensively, I was extremely impressed. Offensively, if you're kind of sitting there going, okay, well, let's see with Foreman and Peterson, let's see where the running game goes. I will say this about the running game. It made me think of something Brandon Staley, the Chargers coach, said earlier this year about running the football and people not understanding what the effectiveness is of a run game if you're not getting chunk plays or averaging 4.5, 5 yards a carry. Earlier this season, Staley said, look, the thing about a run game is you keep pushing into it because it commits a defense to have to make a physical play. You throw the ball, there's a chance nobody hits each other. There's not a ton of physical play. But when you run the football, you're going to put wear and tear on a defense consistently. So you have to continue to commit to it, even if you're not being as effective as maybe you like. I thought that at times when I watched the Titans and the Rams. And I think that's where Peterson and Foreman, whatever that tandem ends up producing long-term and whether or not Derrick Henry comes back down the stretch, I think you continue to lean into that just to put the wear and tear on opposing defenses. But that was a great game, and Joe has already told me that nationally the Titans are disrespected.
So it's your fault. It's your fault, national NFL media.
Listen, by the way, I just want to say this morning when I got up and I was having my coffee and I had ESPN on my office, I'm pretty sure I saw the Titans number two on the rankings, only behind the Arizona Cardinals, who, frankly, I think the Cardinals have they're one play away from being undefeated if A.J. Brown just does not, or excuse me, A.J. Green does not block, doesn't throw a run block in the end zone with 15 seconds left against the Packers. I think that there is respect for the Titans amongst people who understand what they're seeing. But I do regret telling you last week, give me another week of clarity to figure out you don't want to wait another week to go, here's who I like in the AFC and NFC, because guess what? Jacksonville's going to beat Buffalo. Right. This continues to be the most ridiculous season I've ever seen. And the analogy I'm now leaning into is when Joe and I grew up in Michigan, opposing defensive line coaches always used to say about Barry Sanders, if you're playing in the defensive line, when you hit your hole, stay in it. If he vanishes, just stay there. He'll come back. That's how I feel about, like, teams this year. I'm like, if you like a team, stick with them. Like, maybe they'll go through some struggles, but they'll be back. And in a way, the Titans have kind of embodied that team that you thought, I thought a lot of, we talked about it in the offseason, that, okay, they've come back to more of what I expected. Although I will say, they've done it in a manner, particularly recently, the last couple weeks, defensively, that I did not expect.
Well, I had dinner in L.A. Saturday with your editor and our good friend Al Toby, who, you know, was like, yeah, so the Titans are going to get blown out tomorrow, right? I'm like, I don't know. And then during the game, he texts me. He's like, why didn't you tell me to take the Titans on the money line? I'm like, dude, I no idea what's going to happen with this team.
This is how we digest now, you know. This is how we digest wins and losses now. We're like, why didn't you tell me ahead so I could have bet the game? No, I would have told – it was funny because, you know, whatever. We all have a fantasy football team or whatever. I started the Titans defense against the Rams, and people thought I was nuts.
Mm.
And I'm like, go look at how they're playing. Like, here's when I want the Titans defense won me over. I thought they were going to get slaughtered against Kansas City. I was like, this, they're going to get trashed. That secondary's beat up. Kansas City is going to wipe them out. And I think a little bit of is Kansas City's effectiveness, but that game, I saw a team that came alive. I'm like, hey, they're getting pressure on the quarterback. That's going to help the back end of that defense, particularly if this can be consistent. You know, once Dupree got back on the field, like, it was just, I felt like some of the pieces, some of the guys that they were counting on, you know, again, I brought up Autry. Some of these guys that they were really counting on have started to wreak some havoc. And, you know, Simmons is Simmons. Like, he's going to be a Pro Bowler. You know, he's got a shot to be an All-Pro player. Byard's Byard. We know these guys. But I'm just telling you, that front end, if it continues to play like this and it can stay healthy, that makes me love teams now in the NFL, particularly when you go into the playoffs. If you have momentum and you really have a defense that's playing and just tearing teams apart on the front, and you don't have to do a lot of crazy stuff to get it done, you're going to win some playoff games. Go back and I'm telling you, go back and watch what Tampa did last year down the stretch. Don't watch offense. Ignore Brady and all that. Watch what they did defensively. It was their ability to pressure without having to get exotic.
All right, we'll exclude you from the national media bias since you actually know how to say Byard's last name.
There is that.
There you go.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All right, Charles, I've got to ask you about my quarterback. Aaron Rodgers making some news this weekend. It has been quite the situation. Obviously, there is a lot there with Aaron Rodgers, from the original comments that were pretty clearly deceptive at this point about being immunized, to his comments made on the Pat McAfee show. There's a lot to sort through. What, as you've watched this unfold, what have been your thoughts on this situation, and what have been your thoughts on maybe how this impacts Aaron Rodgers as he moves forward here?
Well, he had a terrible week up until Sunday. You know, it was sort of like, yeah, he you know, it comes out clearly that he's going to miss the game and that he's not vaccinated. And then Friday he goes on the Pat McAfee show with a, you know, honestly, I enjoy watching the Pat McAfee show. Pat McAfee's a funny guy. Like, it's always pretty entertaining. I enjoy the questions he asks when he actually puts someone, you know, actually tries to challenge people on things. I don't think Rodgers is one of those guys. I feel like when I watch that show, it's similar to, if I was going to put it in a political sphere, it's like Biden going on MSNBC and you know, Trump going on Fox. It's like it's his chosen platform where he can go and not really be challenged on anything. And if anything, he's just going to be lobbed, you know, he's going to get lobbed passes for dunks the entire game. So it didn't surprise me that he showed up there, went on a, you know, whatever, 20-minute riff, and then a Q&A session that turned into a 46-minute disaster. Personally, you know, my significant other is a COVID nurse. She works COVID units. I know a lot about COVID. I know about, you know, what she sees on a daily basis. I was offended by a number of things that he said, particularly about, you know, oh, the vaccine, you know, what's so great about the vaccine if you can still transmit it, get COVID, and people are still dying with it. Well, I can tell him from personal experience, you know, I have someone who goes and works, you know, 14, 15-hour shifts every day and has told me repeatedly since the vaccine has come down the pipeline, the majority, vast majority of people we are seeing that are hospitalized and dying are the unvaccinated, not the vaccinated. There's a lot of data on that. I thought that was the dangerous part. I thought he made some good points about some of the arbitrary nature of the NFL's protocols. We had talked about that before, sort of like, okay, explain to us how this really makes sense. and the NFL hadn't always been able to do that outside of, hey, we are kind of trying to shame guys into getting vaccines. But then I thought when he started to go off on, you know, he's leaning more into Joe Rogan's advice than doctors. He creates his own medical team, but, you know, the CDC, he's saying, I don't trust their research. He's talking about, you know, fertility and all these different things that have sort of been disproven. I thought, this is a guy with a huge platform, and now he's standing up there, and he's not only, you know, lacking factual, you know, a factual sort of debate in this, which there is a factual debate, he's basically sitting up there in defiance and angry that he got called out for lying. He lied, okay? He lied by omission. He said, I am, for him to say I'm immunized, but then answer all these other questions.
He said yes, too. He said yes, I am immunized.
Yeah, he said yes, I am. You're right, he did. He said he affirmed it and said I am immunized, which is confusing in itself. And then he kept sort of removing himself from the vaccinated crowd. I thought it was interesting. Michael Smith, who, you know, Joe and I know. I mean, Michael Smith sent me this link of his show on Peacock Network, Brother from Another. And I'm watching it, and Michael Smith's like, he's like, Aaron Rodgers isn't vaccinated. He said immunized. Pay attention to his words. And I'm looking at this. I'm like, was this show from Friday? It was from August 27th.
Really?
And I said, wait a minute. I was like, you knew this like almost, you know, 2.5-3 months ago? He's like, yeah. He's like, I knew it the day after. He said, and literally, I retweeted the clip because I'm like, this is crazy. He literally caught Rodgers in exactly what he was doing the day after he did it. And I just don't think a lot of us noticed because we were in the throes of everybody being asked. And I personally thought people had been using immunized as sort of an interchangeable term for vaccination, which clearly
they do.
Haven't.
Right.
Some do. Some wow. do. But then some don't. Some are using it as cover. And I think Rodgers got caught in that. And he is, I'll say this for Mike Florio, he's always been right about Rodgers and criticism. Aaron Rodgers does not like being criticized. He's a fantastic football player. I voted for him as an MVP voter last year. All-world player. Yet he has always been, to me, personally, when I see him, you know, all the things he says and does off-field, he is absolutely a narcissist, and he's absolutely an individual who does not like people criticizing him and raising questions about either how he approaches things or things that he says. And then he will turn around and say, well, I'm a critical thinker. And I go to the beat of my own drum. And I'm just like, all right, dude, like, fine, then accept. Accept what you're going to get that comes with that. Now, that's a long diatribe on what I thought about Friday. You know what? What matters to the Packers is Sunday. You know, Jordan Love went out there against a defense in the Kansas City Chiefs that's played a little bit better recently, but, you know, isn't a unit that's not beatable at this point. And I thought he looked completely ineffective. I saw a guy where I was like, he's nowhere near ready to ever take this team over the remainder of this season, yet alone next year. And I thought, if you're a Packers fan, regardless of what you believe with Aaron Rodgers and the whole vaccination thing, and frankly, I think he'd be probably elected governor tomorrow if he ran. football-wise, we can't kid ourselves. Like, football-wise, he is the best shot for that team to make a Super Bowl. He is by far, he's a top-5 quarterback in the league. He's still an MVP-caliber player. And, you know, Love had his opportunity to sort of put his foot in the ground and say, hey, I'm the future beyond this. He didn't do it, and I think Brian Gutekunst, the general manager there, who really was leaning into Love, you know, being the guy that would take the team over moving forward, he has to sit there and go, I don't think this is happening. You know, we're going to have to keep moving forward with Rodgers and figure out this offseason how to, you know, keep him in the fold.
Charles, one team you mentioned earlier that I am intrigued by, it's just so hard with the results in this league. Like you said, it's just insane. I mean, I watch a lot of the Dallas game, and I'm like, what is going on here?
Arizona beats, like, Arizona, you take Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins off the field, and in my mind, I'm like, San Francisco, talented team. You know, I respect Kyle Shanahan as a coach. I know what his record is. Removing the Super Bowl year. Seems like a game, at the very least, should be a game.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, like you said, the Denver-Dallas game, the Buffalo, the Buffalo-Jacksonville, it's just like every week I'm like, what am I doing here? I don't understand any of these teams.
Well, and the Bengals have been involved in some of these, right? Like, I mean, they go just absolutely trash the Ravens, and they lose to the Jets and Browns. But that's the team that intrigues me, and I've kind of been on them all year, and they've had their issues. But do you think that maybe Sunday was a sign that Cleveland is on the comeback? And do you buy that they're going to be better without Beckham? And also, let me just tack onto that, who's getting Beckham today?
Okay, well, we'll answer the last question first. Odell, I suspect he's going to pass through waivers, given that Cleveland fielded one call on him, and it was only the Saints, and the Saints basically were like, can we get him for nothing, and you pay all of his salary? When they were like, no, the Saints are like, well, then we're not even going to make an offer. That's how that call went between the Saints and the Browns. No one else called for for the remaining $7.25 million. No one was interested in picking him up for a nothing pick. And so I think it's hard for me to believe that, I guess Seattle would be like the one team, given they have space, given that Pete Carroll's playing games right now with the media sort of being like, I can't tell you. We'll wait and see. Wait and see. I'm like, okay. So either you're a massive jag and you're not picking him up and you're just being, ridiculous, or, you're being pretty transparent about it. So unless he's picked up by, say, Seattle, I just can't see anybody picking him up. So he'll pass through waivers. That's the expectations, what he wants. They put out pretty much the word to every team, like, hey, don't pick me up. I want to be a free agent. Pick it. Pick a team. In terms of who he ends up with, he wants a strong quarterback situation. He wants a team that's got a track record, has a chance to, contend, at least for the playoffs, if not the Super Bowl. Seattle's on the fringe of that, but look, they're 3-5. Atlanta's holding the seventh seed in the NFC at 4-4, so they're still in the thick of it with 9 games left. I think Seattle makes some sense. I think the Saints would be interested in him. I don't know that he wants to go into that kind of a quarterback situation. Baltimore, I think Baltimore would, maybe take a look. I think it's interesting that Lamar Jackson was kind of like telling fans, talk to the team. I don't have any sway on this. I'm like, dude, I think you would if you wanted to. Kansas City is a team that could probably use him, but I still think they're kind of married to this idea that Josh Gordon could eventually give them something at some point down the stretch. I think San Francisco is too messy there. The quarterback situation is too messy. I just feel like Russell Wilson and the stability of that quarterback situation in Seattle probably makes more of a difference to him. And even though he is kind of be a third wheel there. So, that's where I'm looking at OBJ. As far as the Browns go, I do. I think they're a better team without him, because I think that he had been pressing for a trade for a while. They couldn't trade him with the ACL issue. When he came back into the fold, I think the surprising thing that I found out on the back end was his dad puts out the video of him, getting open and all that. The strong insinuation inside the franchise was, when you don't run your route tree and you don't run the offense the way that's designed to be run, which is rhythm and timing, it's not a, hey, Baker, break pocket or go off script and start doing some stuff. It's a, hey, be where you're supposed to be, do what you're supposed to do offense. Odell wasn't doing that. And I think Baker got frustrated with him, was like, I'm not going to look at the dude if he's not even running his route tree or his sight adjustment. And I got to go other places. And I even had someone in the franchise tell me, like, if you look at some of the film, there were times where he was going off script and dragging the defense into other areas where, Baker really, that was the read. That was the correct read. So all of a sudden you're looking at a tight end and you're like, wait a minute. Why is the safety, out of position? Or why is, a linebacker in a zone coming underneath? He shouldn't be there. And that Odell sometimes had, created problems on that offense. So I think they just were like, look, it's not working. He needs to go with a quarterback who can deal with players who want to freelance and go off script and find open space and sort of create. That's not really what Baker is in that offense. And I think that's why you saw first game back, they looked like, the way they looked down the stretch last season. We're running the football. This is who we are. It's who our identity is. We're going to the guys who run the route trees. It's rhythm and timing, and, we're finding the guys that we have to find. Plus, Baker doesn't have to worry about throwing 40 times a game because Odell needs to get some targets. So it's a long-winded way of saying, one, going to work. It doesn't mean Odell's not talented, but I think there's a right situation for him, and now he has his opportunity to name it, and we'll see if he's right.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. Charles, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to come on with us.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. And by the way, my AFC, my number one seed in the AFC is the Tennessee Titans.
Come on.
So there you go. Yeah. And so you know what? I got Arizona NFC, and I got Tennessee in the AFC. There. I gave you your power.
How about that, Rex?
Next year we'll ask you about NFL Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
Or next year. Yeah, next week. Yeah.
Well, I look forward to both of those teams taking L's.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it goes.
Guaranteed.
They come and they're gone.
Thanks, Charles. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Charles had to say there. Take your thoughts in our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Thanks to Charles Robinson for joining us in the last segment, who, by the way, has now offered proof that he did, in fact, start the Tennessee Titans defense last week on his fantasy football team. You know, earlier in the season, that would have been a bold move. Worked out pretty well for him at 16 points.
What stands out to me, though, is that he has Cleef Raymond on his fantasy football team.
Yeah, on the bench.
I mean, well, it says bye incorrectly. It was an idle week for Cleef Raymond.
Does say bye, huh?
Yeah, well, yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, those fantasy football sites are, you know, just bastions of literature.
Well, you've got the dictionary, which is a bastion of literature, and now the fantasy football site.
Hey, if you, again, celebrate the erosion of society, if you will.
I will.
That's fine. You're contributing to it, too.
Thank you. It's what I do every day.
Thanks a lot. Trying to raise children in this environment, and you want to just trash our society.
What do you think? Charles has Arizona at one in the NFC, Titans at one in the AFC. Is that the kiss of death for the Titans?
No, maybe. Sure.
Says it's been a fast – look, I'm trying to figure out what's more shocking. I mean, I guess it's the Bills and Jags, but – Denver just coming in and absolutely destroying the Cowboys is pretty shocking. When you get Dak Prescott back and Denver comes in and just takes them to the woodshed.
And I mean, the Cowboys couldn't score a point
I know.
Until absolute garbage time.
With, by the way, no Von Miller on Denver's defense anymore.
Right, right. I mean, that one was – granted, I think there were like 3 fourth down stops when the Cowboys had drives going, but still, that was crazy. Yeah, but I think I'd still go Jags. Jags holding the Bills to 6. I think I'm going to go with that number one on my power rankings of ridiculous NFL results.
I got a texture that says, no need to apologize for your horrendous takes, Joe. We are used to it. Hashtag bad take Joe.
Ooh. Who is this?
No name.
So that's a Stillman burner. Okay.
Could be.
Well, that's fine. I got my mom and Jared fighting on the text line.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Where do you think OBJ ends up?
Well, I mean, I had to think
What's a good fit?
Yeah, I mean, I had to think about Seattle because I saw the stuff from Pete Carroll yesterday, and he's like, well, I won't say anymore. You'll see. I'm like, okay, so why would you say that?
Yeah.
Like, why would you say it the way he said it if there wasn't interest? And I think that I could see, and that's a team that obviously you get Russ back. You've got.
I know he's coming back. Just go watch videos.
Yeah, apparently. I haven't seen this exciting Rocky versus Drago video with him using his finger to lift like an ox plow. 3-5. You get Russ back. You bring him in. Can you make a run? I mean, sure. I mean, right now the Falcons are in the playoffs in the NFC. Like, there's plenty of opportunity for Seattle to make a run and get in the postseason and be dangerous in the postseason. So I don't hate it.
Somebody said the Rams. OBJ to the Rams.
Yeah.
I guess it's how much is he worth the risk?
Well, I mean, the Rams offense to me is also a lot like what Charles was talking about with the Browns. I mean, regardless, you know, you should be able to, you know, run routes and make the correct site adjustments and all that stuff. But that's interesting stuff Charles had on what Cleveland was saying about Beckham. Yeah, that'd be He's not coming to either one of those teams. No, my gosh, no. Either one of those teams, that's quite a – they already have good receiving duos. He becomes a very good three.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Preds TV analyst Chris Mason. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators as they continue through the Central Division this week. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. And as we do every Tuesday at this time, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Chris Mason, Predators TV analyst, former Preds goaltender. C-Mace, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Not too much. Just packing up for the trip here in a couple hours.
What's it been like being back out on the road with the fellas this year? Not a whole lot of that last year.
No, honestly, it's been great, obviously, to watch the games and be, not do them at in an empty arena and get the feel and the emotion and all, everything. And it's good to see all the fans coming back. And but it's tiring. Like, I get I got to get back in travel shape because it takes a lot out of me. But I love that we get to go and travel and be back with the guys, and it's getting back to normal, so that's a good thing.
See, Mace, what have you made so far of this group on the road trip? They've got 5 of a possible 8 points. Obviously, UC Saros has been out of his mind so far this year. What have you thought overall of the way the team has played so far on the road trip?
Well, I've been extremely happy with how they played, and my old uncle Unce used to say, he's like, you can't always be your best, but you can't always give everything you got. So I think this team does that. They give everything they have every night, and sometimes, it's not great. I didn't think they were great against Chicago. Obviously, I thought against Calgary in the first period, it was probably one of their worst periods of the year, but they recover, and they never give up. They're never out of a game. They find ways. They got that point against Chicago. I know it was disappointing there to lose in overtime, but at the end of the day, I would take that. And I just think that this team knows what they are. And I remember last year you guys, us, doing the broadcast, you just didn't know what kind of team they were. Now I think they know, we know, and they consistently bring that game, and not always going to be their best, and some periods are going to be ugly and sloppy, but these guys battle. I mean, they blocked 15 shots in the third period against Vancouver to hold on to win that hockey game. So I was happy with the road trip because I feel like the strength of schedule that they played, Willie brought that up, I think, to this point in the season, before Chicago, was fourth hardest or fifth hardest in the league. So they played some really good teams. So I've been very happy with this team. I think they're playing the way that John Hines said they were, and all the guys, said they were. So far, so good for me.
So, Chris, every year is different. There's no two teams exactly the same, no two rosters exactly the same. But would you say then that what we're seeing is a continuation of the identity that they sort of found last year to make that playoff push?
Absolutely. I really do. And I think once you establish that as a team and you have the guys that are going to play like that, I mean, you see a lot of guys in question, Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, those are the guys that you had to fight to kind of get on board, right? So I see those guys showing up, and they're playing like that, and you have everyone else, and obviously Tanner Janot and the Herd doing their thing. I think this team is, they wear it proudly. They know that that's how they have to win to have success. And once you have success playing that way, that's the easiest way to get buy-in, is when a coach says, hey, it's the details in the game. It's defensively, you got to do this, and offense will come. Every single game, the Preds are getting a lot of chances. I know they're not going to be a high-scoring team. They're not going to blow teams out of the water, but they're getting a lot more chances in games now compared to the talented teams that they had a couple years ago, coming off that, those cup teams where the President's Trophy. And these guys are playing hard, and because they're playing, solid defensively for the most part, they're getting a lot of offense off transition. They get a lot off their forecheck. I just think this team understands what they have to do to be successful, and everybody in the room does. So that's a good thing.
Chris Mason, Predators TV analyst, on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. See, Mace, and you, look, you know, you're running out of words at some point to describe what Roman Josi means to this group and the way that he's playing. You know, I thought it was interesting, and you can tell me whether or not you agree with this. Last year in the first part of the season, I thought maybe at times he was trying to do too much out there based on what was going on around him. And then he gets hurt. He comes back in after the injury last year, I thought, looked like Roman Josi. And then so far this year, I mean, I think he's been dynamite defensively. You're talking about 12 points in 12 games offensively. Looks like the Norris Trophy winner from a couple of years ago. Do you think maybe at the beginning of last year he was trying to do too much and now he's settled back into the role, albeit a big one, that they've got carved out for him?
I think that's honestly, I couldn't have said that better, because that's exactly what I've talked about this with Hal Gill before too. Last year, you know, he's the captain. He takes a lot of ownership of how this team performs. And when, you know, the rest of the guys aren't, you know, pulling their weight, he does try to, you know, do it himself and probably a little too much. And it's tough for anybody to have any sustained level of success when you're pushing too hard. But now that the guys, you know, they're playing the right way, he can just play his game. He's got Fabro, or whether he's playing with Carrier or Fabro. I think he's maybe the best we've seen. And it's because of that, as you pointed out, everyone's playing better. He doesn't have to do it all himself. He's got different guys contributing every single night. So he's on pace. He's going to be in the Norris Trophy conversation again because of how well he's playing. And a large part of that is because his partners and the rest of the team are pulling their weight. So that's always a good thing. But he's just, you know, I know that we don't take him for granted, but I really just think there's nobody else in the league that can quite play the position the way he does.
Chris, with Matt Duchene, obviously a hot start, much needed. You mentioned earlier, you know, some of it may be, you know, just kind of coming to an understanding of what's expected and things like that as a player. But I guess to me, kind of looks like he just has more burst. Maybe he's healthier. Like, when you're watching him play, what are you seeing, and do you think it's sustainable?
I do think it's sustainable, and I think with him, my thing with him is, and most goal scorers or offensive players, is they need offense. They need to score. They need to put points up, and you're going to get that. And I think, you know, John Hines will always say, and this is true, the hardest thing to do with offensive guys is to have them buy in defensively and to, you know, because they you know, just instinctually want to cheat. They want to go on the offensive side of things. But when they are able to play defense and then get more chances because of it, I think that you start to get a player that's ready to go. And Matt Duchene this year is absolutely playing the best hockey that I've seen him in a Preds uniform, other than those first 10 games he came here. He's been awesome. So I think that buy-in, I think it is sustainable, because he's one of the most talented guys on the roster. And for him, it's all in his head. Like any other player, it's confidence. It's all those little things that go into scoring goals and being successful offensively. So I think he's found what works for him.
See, Mace, we appreciate you taking time to join us. Hope you have fun on the road trip continuing this week, and we'll talk to you next week, my man.
All right, thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, former Preds goaltender, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. By the way, speaking of the Predators, Adam Vigneault has just put out some transactions for the Predators. Nick Cousins, with an undisclosed injury, and Philip Forsberg have been placed on injured reserve. So not great from Forsberg. Now, remember, in hockey, retroactive injured reserve. So it doesn't mean a ton, other than you can have some more roster moves that are made. Michael McCarron and Matthew Olivier have been recalled to the Nashville Predators.
Someone was just asking about the Biloxi Bowl. So, yeah, I guess I'm just wondering why you wouldn't have just IR'd Forsberg a week ago.
Well, I guess you're trying to wait and see how long he'd been out. I mean, gone by, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
So,
week to week.
That's right. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what C-Mace had to say there. Get your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway prior to the Titans taking on the New Orleans Saints. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and on YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Michelle Knezovic has sent us a text with a tweet from our good friend Stephen Holder about the decision by the Colts not to re-sign DeNico Autry. We've talked a lot about Jeffrey Simmons today. DeNico Autry, another big game for the Titans on Sunday. And I was racking my brain through this last night, and it could be that I'm just totally missing somebody. But I'm trying to think of the last time the Titans have signed a free agent and he's come in and has been this impactful. Like, DeNico Autry's been pretty good from start to finish so far this year.
Yeah. I mean, Logan Ryan was definitely a good ad.
Sure.
It's funny because I swear it seems like they have this thing where the new signee struggles early. So I remember like Logan Ryan gave up a Robbie Anderson TD against the Jets in the preseason. And it was like, uh-oh. But he's pretty good.
I mean, Butler?
Well, Butler maybe struggled much early. Eventually became, I think it was a good signing. Yeah, no. I mean, I always feel like I'm going to forget someone.
Me too.
Right?
Like Adam Humphries was not that.
Yeah, I mean Humphries was one of those things where when he was healthy, I really liked him in the offense, and he was like in the playoff run.
Yeah.
2 years ago, he had some really big chain moving catches, but that's not this. I mean, this guy is he is out there. He really is out there taking part in wrecking games. It was interesting to hear Charles talk about, and I agree. I mean, it always seems like hate on Brady. It's not, but that was why they were so good. They were all over Rodgers. They were all over Mahomes. I mean, their defensive front was why they won it all last year. Can the Titans get that week after week from these guys? And, of course, you got to have them healthy to do so.
Adam in Portland on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Guess who has the Titans below the Chiefs today? Nobody, boys. Tighten up. Should I wear a Hawaiian shirt to the Super Bowl parade or what?
Oh,
what are your thoughts?
I love it. First of all, yeah. I mean, I think you should wear a Hawaiian shirt to just about anything.
I mean, it'd be pretty cold for Hawaiian shirt in February. Maybe. We don't know what the
weather's
going to be like here.
Wear it over a hoodie.
Yeah.
Right? I say yes.
Hey. Could be a busy few weeks here in Nashville in February. Get a Super Bowl parade. Pecorine's jersey retirement.
Isn't that
outdoor
hockey
series?
Game.
Isn't it like 2 days later or something like that?
I don't even remember when the Super Bowl is this year. I know it's a little bit later.
It's February 13th, I want to say.
Valentine's Day? Oh, no.
Hey, by the way, very exciting. In SoFi Stadium the other night, Dr. Dre was there.
Really?
It was pretty awesome.
That's sick.
They showed him. It was.
So it's February 13th. If they win the Super Bowl, they probably have it a few days later. So you're talking 16th, 17th. So it's about a week and a half before.
Yeah, that's right, because Pecorine's is on the 24th. Okay.
Outdoor hockey game on 26th.
Jeez.
Could be a heck of a two-week stretch here, buddy.
Could be. And by then,
I'm sure people are loving we're talking about a Super Bowl parade right now.
Yeah, exactly. And by then, who knows what the college basketball team, I mean, like the Kentucky Wildcats could be like
Kentucky,
already like on their way to the NIT.
The national championship, undefeated. Yeah.
Well, they're going to lose tonight, so undefeated is going to be hard.
Guys, I swear.
In the exhibition, though. Their last exhibition, what was up with that?
Listen,
I don't want to overreact.
They kind of look like a poorly coached team?
Robbie, my face is so red right now. I am getting fired up, guys.
What is Cal's record against Rick Barnes?
Not great.
5-8 or something like that? Yikes.
But hey, Kentucky's a basketball school, right?
We finally got a I hate you guys from a show.
I hate you guys. And listen.
Should we make a Tennessee-Kentucky bet on the basketball series this year?
Let's do it.
Oh, let's do it. And you guys will all be wearing UK blue, and it'll look great on you.
My name's Paul. This is between y'all.
Wow, nice.
Okay, Switzerland. Oh, somebody called and said Delanie Walker, free agent. You were forgetting.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I'm going not back, forgetting him. That's a long time ago.
Going back. Yeah, going back to what, 14?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, is it since Delanie Walker?
In the era of competitiveness, you know, so this would be the sixth season of that. It's the John Robinson era. They've been competitive. I can't. I mean, Logan Ryan, I think, was pretty good the whole way. Because they haven't had, I mean, they really haven't had a ton. Obviously, they've had some big misses, you know, with Clowney and Beasley last year and things like that.
Sylvester Williams.
Yeah, there you go. Sly Williams. Yeah, I don't think it's – I mean, I think it's pretty clear based on what he's done so far this year. He's not only the best so far of this year, but the best period that John Robinson's had in a short period of time, 9 games.
Well, you're hoping that Bud Dupree eventually turns into that, right?
Yeah, and if we're talking about that over the next several weeks – then that's where they could be lethal. If he keeps getting stronger and those four can keep, running games and doing all the stuff they do and just putting pockets on collapse with just the four of them, boy, does that help their defense look good.
Brian texting in says, nice Pulp Fiction quote.
Thank you.
Yep.
I was actually going to ask you guys if you guys got my reference.
I didn't at the time, but I've seen the movie.
Yeah.
I haven't. I didn't think about it.
That was in the, that was when Samuel L. Jackson and Travolta were arguing about something, and he was the bartender said that. Yes.
That's right. Hey, good movie. Add it to the list for Ryan Porth and Michelle Knezovic.
Look at Michelle. She just sent us a picture of all the Kentucky guys who are in Times Square right now on the billboard.
What a day to be alive!
Pretty
guys.
Cool. It's. I mean, they
play the NIT at Times Square, don't they?
Do.
Oh, good.
That is
just getting ready.
I can't wait till Tennessee just loses every game and you all don't even make it into the NIT, Robbie. Hey. You're just out there and they just give up, okay?
Tennessee's not a basketball school. I don't really care.
You're not a football school either.
I think we finally broken Michelle.
You are not a football school either. Oh, I am. Oh,
That does it for us today. Well, that's the show. Show's over. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Run. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Michelle may or may not be with us. We'll see what happens. Darren Donick and Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5, The Game.